بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد. The following is a translation of the Urdu Bayan that was rendered by Hazrat Maulana Yunus Palanpuri Sahib Damat Barakatuhum in Masjid As-Salam, Middleburg, on the 18th of October after Maghrib Salah. Hazrat Maulana commenced with the recitation of the Quranic verse, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha, asa rabbukum an yukaffira ankum sayyi'atikum wa yudkhilakum jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Hazrat Maulana comments by saying, there are two things that have to be understood. The first is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only grants success to those who are dindar, meaning those that adhere to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those that are the non-adherents of the deen will never be successful. They will always be unsuccessful. This is a confirmed thing. Like if a person receives a whole lot of wealth, that is in no way any indication that this person has acquired success. Signs of success is this, that a person fulfills all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And failure is this, that a person does not fulfill the orders and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, success is to be fulfilling the orders and the commands of Allah, and failure is this, that a person neglects the orders and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we must continue, we must aspire to fulfill all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's salah, whether it's fasting, whether it's hajj, whether it's a recitation of the Quran, whatever it might be. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed His success in this, that all His orders and commands are fulfilled. And then another important thing is this, that we are human beings. And being human beings, we are bound to commit mistakes. We are bound to make slip-ups. We are bound to commit sins. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not just left us in those sins, but He has shown us many doors of forgiveness. And He has shown us many formulas of attaining forgiveness. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself has shown us so many different formulas to acquire the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to one hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said that if a person turns his gaze skywards, he looks upwards, and he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says three times, O Allah, forgive me. O Allah, forgive me. O Allah, forgive me. There is none to forgive me except you. If he says this three times, then according to the hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiles at such a servant. And obviously, when we speak about the smiling of Allah, it in no way is equal to the smiling of the creation and the human beings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The smiling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is according to the smiling of Allah, according to His position. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiles and He says to His servant, go, I have forgiven you. So this is one of the formula, of the many formulas that have been taught to us, the many ways and the doors that have been given to us through which we can attain the forgiveness and the repentance, the istighfar and the tawbah, the maghfirah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I once wrote a book, and the title of the book is this, Why Have You Become Despondent? Allah is the greatest. And in this particular book, I have recorded 312 or 313 ahadith only on forgiveness. Now, I was wondering what name can I give to this particular book? What should the title be? So one day, one old man from across the road, he came to our house and he said to me, "Maulana, there's one beggar who comes to our building regularly." And the beggar says, these are his words, "Why do you get despondent? Allah is the greatest. Why are you despondent? Allah is the greatest." So I said to this person here, "You know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent you with the name which my book must be titled, the title of my book. That is the title of my book. It's going to be, and it is, Why Have You Become Despondent? Allah is the greatest." So there are tons of ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives people, and He has shown us these ways. And Allah ta'ala has shown us tons of ways in which we are able to acquire good a'mal, do good actions and so forth. Therefore, we have to look for those things. For example, if a person just makes once dua, just once he makes the following dua for the entire ummah. He makes the following dua: "Allahumma ighfir li wa lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat." Just once he makes this dua, which means, "Oh Allah, forgive me. Forgive all the believing men and the believing women. And forgive all the Muslim men and the Muslim women." Just when he makes this dua once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that person and reward him equal to the entire amount of people that are in the ummah at that given time. Such great virtue is given to us for making dua for the ummah just once in these words that have been mentioned. And I take an oath, millions of oaths, in this masjid of Middleburg, that whoever reads this book, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written a reward. Whoever reads this dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written a reward in His book of deeds equal to the amount of males and females in the ummah. And why am I making millions of oaths? I am saying this, I take millions of oaths because Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said so. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam could not have said anything that is incorrect. So these are the ways that have been actually taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, through which we are able to increase our pious deeds and our good deeds. According to a hadith, if husband and wife look at each other lovingly and they smile at each other lovingly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also smiles on them and forgives them. If you give sadaqah, you give charity to a beggar who comes to you with your own hands, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you from a bad death. So what we are saying is, there are so many different ways in which a person can do good deeds, and there are just so many ways in which a person can acquire forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to a hadith, if somebody recites the following dua 100 times, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him. What is the dua? The dua is, if a person reads the dua, "Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi," 100 times, then according to the hadith, the reward is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him reward equal to 124,000 times. And in addition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will plant 100 trees of dates for him in Jannah, even if his sins are equal to the foam on the ocean. So this is another way of acquiring reward and getting yourself forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once when he was sitting in the majlis in a gathering, an extremely old man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leaning on a stick, and he made his way to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he made the following confession. He says, O Rasulullah, I am a very, very big sinner. I have committed it all the sins that could be committed, I have committed them, except for shirk. In fact, I am embarrassed, I feel shy to say that I have committed these sins, but I have committed lots and lots of sins. Basically, he was looking for a way of forgiveness. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, come closer, come closer. He instructed the Sahaba to let this person come close. He came closer, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come even more closer. Till he was sitting face to face with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to repeat the following dua 3 times. And this is again that dua which we should keep in our own supplications, through which inshallah we also will be forgiven. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, repeat after me 3 times. Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi wa rahmatuka arja indi min amali. Translation, O Allah, your forgiveness is much, much more vast and greater than my sins. And O Allah, I have got hope in your mercy much, much more than my own deeds. In other words, my deeds are nothing compared to your mercy. I have more hope in your mercy. So if a person recites this dua, then he will be forgiven. Because after this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this old man, قُمْ قَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Stand up and go now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all your sins. Likewise, if a person every day makes dua 3 times for entry into Jannah and refuge from Jahannam, then Jannah makes dua for such a person and says, oh Allah, send this person to me quickly. He is asking for me. And Jahannam says, oh Allah, don't send this person to me. Don't send this person to me. He is seeking refuge from me. He does not want to come to me. So if a person makes this dua, and it does not have to be made necessarily in Arabic, it can be made in any language. A person just says 3 times, oh Allah, enter me into Jannah and save me from Jahannam. Oh Allah, enter me into Jannah and save me from Jahannam. Oh Allah, enter me into Jannah and save me from Jahannam. Then he will acquire this particular response and this particular virtue of having Jannah make dua for him. So whoever recites this dua will definitely get Jannah asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send him over, and Jahannam making dua to Allah ta'ala to keep that person away from Jahannam. So these are ahadith. These are all found in the authentic ahadith. And I have recorded all the references to these ahadith in my books. One of my books is Bikhre Moti. The other one is Mu'min Ka Hathiyar. So in there you will find all these references to these various virtues. Our Sharia is very, very easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made things so easy for us that if a person makes a slip, he commits an error, he does something wrong, immediately he must seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts such a person's repentance and forgiveness. According to one hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my servant, I will accept you if you come to me at night, that is seeking forgiveness. And I will accept you if you come to me in the day, seeking forgiveness. Whole day, you disobey me and you challenge me and you confront me with your disobedience. At night yet, I have you protected by my angels. Subhanallah. So this is the mercy and this is the generosity and benevolence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in as far as his treatment of his sinful servants is concerned. We do not lose hope. It is mentioned that there was an old person and he used to make ibadat to an idol and he used to say, Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam, continuously. Sanam means idol. So he used to say, oh idol, oh idol. And one day for 70 years, by mistake, his tongue slipped and he said, Ya Samad. And immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, Labbaik, ya Abdi, Labbaik, Labbaik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am present, O my servant, you have called me, I am present. Now in all those calls of Ya Sanam, just once Ya Samad was mentioned, and this person receives a response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the malaika say to Allah, oh Allah, this person has been calling upon an idol for so many years. Once he calls to you and you respond to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I was waiting for him to respond to me. Therefore, he called me once, I will turn to him. And according to another narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually said, the idols have not responded. If I don't respond, then what will be the difference between me and the idol? I respond to the dua, ujibu da'wat da'. I respond to the dua in the call of my servant when he calls me. And I don't respond once, I respond repeatedly. Like in this hadith it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, labbaik, labbaik, labbaik. Once the man called, and Allah ta'ala responded 3 times. So Allah ta'ala responds to our du'as repeatedly. So that is why we are supposed to at all times have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in one hadith, if a person commits a sin, and because of having committed that sin, in his heart he feels bad, and he turns to Allah, and he says, Allahumma, O Allah. Just he says, O Allah. Just when he utters the words, O Allah, already Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have forgiven you. Before this person can reach the next words, Aghfirli, forgive me, he has not even uttered those words. He has not even got there, but already the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala envelops this person, and he's already forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So continuously keep yourself connected to this amal of seeking forgiveness and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in remorse and in repentance. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran, in the verse which I have recited. Tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. What is tawbatan nasuha? Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tawbatan nasuha. Nasuha got 2 meanings. One, it comes from the Arabic root letters nasaha, nasiha, that means advice. It got a different meaning. But another word, nasuha, another meaning and translation is that of a tailor. And what does a tailor do? A tailor stitches 2 pieces of cloth together. So when you're making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking forgiveness, your tawbah should be such that you turn to Allah ta'ala and seek forgiveness, and you stitch yourself and you once more connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same way that the tailor stitches 2 pieces of cloth and he joins them together. That is how a person must turn to Allah ta'ala. In his heart, this hadith mentions a person makes dua in his heart. And speaking about making dua just from the heart, not even from the tongue. There's a very, very interesting incident that has been mentioned. That in the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a great amount of drought. The waters from the skies were withheld. There was no longer any rain. And people were suffering because of thirst and because of the dryness. There was absolutely no water. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam gathered all his people and he went out in the open and he started making dua, asking for forgiveness and asking for water. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, grant us water. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, grant us water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that you have come here with this whole group of people, but there's one person in your group here that has been committing sins, big sinner, and as long as he is in your gathering, I am not going to send down the water. So ask him to get up and leave. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam turned to his gathering, to the assembly of people, and said, there is someone here. Allah Ta'ala has informed me that he has committed sins, so much of sins. For 40 years he has been committing sins, and as long as he is going to be in this gathering, there is going to be no rain forthcoming. So this person, alhamdulillah, he was sitting right in the first saf, in the front row, and he realized that he is the culprit. So immediately he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his heart, not even with his mouth. And he says, "Oh Allah, I am that servant. Oh Allah, you have kept me hidden till now. You have concealed my sins up to now. I am begging you, please conceal my sins for a little while longer. And oh Allah, I turn to you in repentance and I give you my word, I will never ever commit sins again. But don't expose me. You did not expose me up to now. Don't expose me again, oh Allah. Don't open up my sins to the people." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard this man's dua that came from his heart, and immediately the rain started falling, the clouds started coming from one direction, and it started raining on the people. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was actually quite surprised. He says, nobody got up from the gathering and went. So he says, "Oh Allah, how did this happen? The man didn't get up and go, and you already sent the rain." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of whom the rain was withheld, it is because of the same person that the rain has come. So Musa alayhi salam says, "What do you mean, O Allah?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this person made an agreement, a private secret agreement with me from his heart, that, "Oh Allah, I am no longer going to commit any sins. Therefore, please forgive me and don't expose me." So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was very, very pleased and relieved. So he says, "Oh Allah, tell me, who is the servant? Who is he? Where does he live? What is his name? Show him to me." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Oh Musa, I have commanded people to abstain from carrying tales, from slandering, and from exposing the faults of others. I have made that command. I have prohibited people from doing that. And now I myself must expose the sin of another person, and I must inform you people about it. I am not going to do that." And so we find that man's sin was not exposed to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, or to anybody else for that matter. So we must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbun Kareem. He is that Allah who is most kind, most beneficent, most benevolent, most gentle, and most generous. Allah is most loving. Allah loves us. He loves us so much that He gives us opportunity to do good deeds. He is the one, out of His love, opened the doors of the masjid and the road to the masjid for us to be present here. And there may be other people here in Middleburg who did not get the opportunity of coming to the masjid, who don't come to the masjid, who don't know what is salah, who don't know the difference between Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, who don't know what are the names of the salah. It reminds me, in 1988 we undertook a journey to Austria, that's in Europe. It was in the month of Ramadan, and we went out for gasht to the homes of the Muslimin, and we found them and we started giving them da'wah. But what we found, they were all eating. It was the month of Ramadan. So we said to them, "It is Ramadan and you people are eating." They asked us, "What is this Ramadan? What is this you are talking about?" They never knew what Ramadan was about, because they used to calculate their days and months according to January, February, March, April, May and so forth. So they did not even know what Ramadan was. Therefore, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side, that you have got masajid here in your country, that you have programs in your masjid, you have ulama here, you have ulama coming, you have jamaats coming, you have pious servants of Allah who regularly come and who caution you and who wake you up and who turn your attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is giving you opportunities and who is being kind to you to turn to Him and to make peace with Him. Remember one very important thing, that for these things to flourish, for the haqq, the deen, for the haqq to flourish and for the deen to flourish, it will only flourish in an environment that is the opposite. That means in an environment of batil. Because when there is falsehood, when there is wrong, when there is temptation, at that time when a person has a realization, and then when he does something, then we find that haqq starts growing and flourishing, and after a while it starts spreading, and then it confronts the batil and it overpowers the batil. So that is some very important thing to keep in mind. Our deen is haqq, our Quran is haqq, Everything given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually honored us, and Allah has favored us by giving us all these doors and all these various ways and means through which we can reach Him. And He has mentioned and informed us of the virtues of these things. According to a hadith, it is mentioned, whoever recites the following dua, the following kalima, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks from the heavens down to the reciter of this kalima, the words of the haditha, hatta yanzuru Allahu ila qailiha, that when a person recites it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns and looks for that person. Allah knows who he is. Allah can see who he is. But what is meant that Allah looks at him? Allah ta'ala turns his special attention to that person who recites this kalima. What is the kalima? The kalima is La ilaha illallahu wahdahu, la sharika lahu, lahul mulku, wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. So Allah looks at him, Allah becomes pleased, Allah accepts it, and Allah says, ask what you want, it will be granted to you. All this is mentioned in the ahadith, in the authentic and the sahih ahadith. So what is being said here is that when we are reading all these things and we are doing all these deeds, then we must do it with istihdar. What is istihdar? Istihdar means we must have in our mind the virtues that have been mentioned about it, and we must do it with iman and with the faith and the belief that I am doing this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me this reward and that reward, whatever the reward has been mentioned. So we don't just do it, you know, like a routine, like a ritual, just repeat it over and done with, and we don't keep in mind the various virtues that have been mentioned. Do it with istihdar, do it with consciousness, do it with a feeling of total faith and conviction that this is what I am doing and this is what Allah Ta'ala is giving me in return. Subhanallah. We will conclude on the last incident. It is mentioned that in the time of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, a very, very severe famine struck the people of Egypt. It was so severe that people were starving to death. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam made an announcement that all the people that are hungry should come, and twice a week or once a week, they are going to be given grain. They're going to be given food from the public treasury. So the people used to come and they used to collect their food so that they could at least overcome their hunger and their starvation. So it was in the course of this one day, a young man pitched up on the door of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, and he said, give me food, give me grain. So Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam turned to the servants that were there and said, give this person food, give him grain. Next day the same person pitched up again, and again with the same kind of attitude. He had an attitude asking, give me food. You know, one is when you have a need, you go like a beggar, you have some kind of humility in your action and in your tone, and you say, please, can I have some food? No, this person said, give me food, like he was the boss around here. So Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam looked at him and he says, this person is back here again. So he said to the people, give him food. So they gave him food and he went away. Now this was twice already. In terms of the regulation that had been made out at that time, everyone was supposed to receive once or twice a week only. So they gave it to him. And also it was given according to the size of the family. Third day came, this fellow reaches and pitches up again. And once again he says to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, give me food. And again with that same announcement of a person with an attitude. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to the servants, call this person here, bring him here in front of me. He says, Bhai, you were here yesterday and you were here the day before. In terms of our rules and regulations, don't you know that you are only supposed to get it once or twice a week, and that also depending on the size of your family? That man says, I don't know all your rules and regulations, just give me food. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, okay, now that you have come, we will give you in contradiction of the law that we have made, but don't come back here again now, tomorrow. Now if you come back, you must come back only next week and come according to the routine that we have set. Don't come before that. So this person looked at Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and he says, Ama araftani ya Yusuf? Oh Yusuf, don't you recognize me? In other words, you're talking to me like this, I must come back next week. Don't you recognize me? Don't you know who am I? Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, I don't know who you are. I don't recognize you. He said, listen carefully, O Yusuf. He's talking to the ruler of Egypt with this kind of an attitude, with such authority, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam also took extra note and paid extra attention to this man's words, that if he's telling me to listen carefully, then it must be something great. He says, you know who I am? You remember that time when the wife of the ruler of Egypt tried to falsely accuse you of immorality, and there was a baby that time in the room from the family of that people who gave evidence and testimony in your favor and who defended you against the false accusation that was made against you, the false accusation of indecency that was made against you. You remember that baby? I am that baby. I was the one who gave evidence in your favor. I bore testimony in your defense. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam got a shock. He says, Anta mani alladhi shahida shahidun min ahliha. These are the words of the Quran. Are you that one who had given testimony from the family of the ruler of Egypt? He says, yes, I was a baby then. I have grown up now. I am the one. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam immediately called all the courtiers and all the servants. And he says, look at this person properly and recognize him. And as from now, whenever he comes and whenever he asks, do not withhold from him. Give him whenever he asks. Give him whatever he asks. He is the one who had bore testimony in my favor and had defended me against a false accusation that had been made against me at the time when I was totally defenseless. He is the one. Subhanallah. No sooner had Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam uttered these words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a wahi from the heavens. And he says, Oh Yusuf, you have honored such a person who had given testimony in your behalf, who had given testimony announcing your purity, because you were pure, you did not do anything wrong, and you have honored him in this way. Just once he has given testimony in your favor, just once he has done it, and you have honored him in this way. Then I, being Allah, how much more won't I honor that servant of mine who repeatedly glorifies me and announces my purity? You know, when we say Subhanallah, we are announcing the purity and expressing the purity of Allah. That Allah is pure and above all those things which the creation attributes to Him. Most pure, most purified, most glorified is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So whoever glorifies me, how much more won't I honor such a person? And if he does it day and night, how much more will I not honor him? Subhanallah. So the person who recites this particular dua and this words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely honor him also. What are the words? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wala ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wala hawla, wala quwwata, illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. According to the hadith, when a person recites these words, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant has surrendered himself to me. He has become a Muslim, as we will say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces this person's surrendering. Allah says, this person has surrendered himself to me. Allah ta'ala announces it to the malaika. So therefore, when a person reads these du'as with continuous istihdar, with continuous presence of mind, with continuous conviction, having full faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting him whatever he's hoping and expecting from Allah ta'ala, then he will definitely have such a joy in reading it. And how does istihzar come? Istihzar, presence of mind, will only come when a person has iman. And iman will only come when a person makes an effort on his iman. My one statement always I say, surrender yourself to that one Allah, and he will surrender everyone to you. So, respected listeners, this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us so many ways of doing good deeds, so many ways of having ourselves forgiven. And we here in South Africa are so honored that if we keep up these things, we make an effort on our iman, and we connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this deen of haqq, this honorable deen, this Quran, these beautiful teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will spread from South Africa. People will come to hear about South Africa. Normally people say we go to South Africa to earn wealth, but it will be a changed story. It will be said that when you want the best watch, then go to Switzerland. And you want the best blanket, then go to Italy. And you want the best car, then go to Japan. And you want the best computer parts, then go to America. But it will be said, when you want to see the best Muslims, when you want to acquire the best deen, then go to South Africa. So if we make that effort, then this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor us, inshallah. So my question to you is, will you do that? And the easiest way is that you get yourself connected to the work of da'wah, and you invite people in whichever way towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards all these beautiful virtues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has announced for his servants. My late father, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Palanpuri rahmatullah alayhi, who you all know, used to come regularly to South Africa, and whose lectures you must have also heard, he used to repeatedly say, whoever casts a gaze of muhabbat, whoever casts a gaze of muhabbat upon this jamaat of da'wah that comes to your masajid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also accept him. If you look at these brothers, the qurbani and the effort and the sacrifice they make, and you think in your heart, what a sacrifice they have made. They have left their home, they have left their families, they have left their children, they have left their comforts, and they have come out in my path, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just that gaze of appreciation and muhabbat that you will cast on them, Allah will, on account of that, inshallah, accept you too in whichever way Allah knows is best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. ما علينا إلا البلاغ.